You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com. Joining me today on the line, it is Greg Swartz from BleacherReport.com. Greg, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Always. We're here to get into some of the super detailed X's and O's, gritty, whatever adjectives you want to use, Cavs breakdowns, but Greg, first things first, big thing. LeBron James posted the Arthur meme, which is, of course, the fist to Instagram after Kyrie came up big for the Celtics as Boston's winning streak continues. What excuse will LeBron give to say that wasn't actually about Kyrie?
Oh, I can't wait to hear the excuse. It conjures up memories of the fit in, the fit out with Kevin Love, how, oh, no, I wasn't directing that towards Kevin Love. And then, you know, later on revealed to those who covered the team closest, oh, yeah, you guys can figure out who that was close. So, you know, is LeBron just going to come right out? Is he at the point where he's like, yeah, screw it. You know, we're 4-6. Yeah, that was about Kyrie. Yeah, I'm mad the Celtics won 9 in a row. I'm jealous that I see viral clips of Kyrie making passes that he never made in 6 years. Maybe he'll just come out and be completely honest, or, you know, the more likely term, maybe he'll just give us some BS answer for what he was doing.
What have you made of Kyrie so far in Boston? His numbers are up. He's developed a really nice chemistry with Horford. He's had a particularly strong stretch of play while Boston is on this winning streak, and Kyrie's really, you know, been at the forefront of that. What have you made of what he's been in Boston, and is it a different guy than the Cavs got in not just in terms of what he's putting up stat-wise, but in terms of what he seemed like he was capable of?
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised they've won 9 in a row. I'm surprised they're 9-2 and they're at the top of the conference without Gordon Hayward. I'll say that. But in terms of Kyrie, you know, playing this good soldier role where, you know, I'm going to be the leader of the team, but I'm also going to, you know, get my teammates involved. And I've seen so many clips of him, you know, breaking the guy's ankles, getting to the rim, and then passing out of that to this three-point shooter. It's like all the tunnel vision that we saw the past 6 years has, like, somebody took a sledgehammer to the tunnel and just opened it wide up. And now the sky has opened, the clouds have parted. And now all of a sudden Kyrie has this amazing vision as he's driving to the lane. And, you know, I thought Kyrie had poor vision as he's getting to the basket. And then I've started watching Derrick Rose on a regular basis. And now Kyrie looks like he's like Jason Kidd out there.
He's
like a Jason Kidd, Chris Paul combo after watching Derrick Rose. So for Kyrie, this is great. It's November. He's doing everything that, you know, the Kyrie purist thought he would do. I want to see if he's still doing this in February. If, you know, if they go on a 5-game losing streak, what's he going to do? Is he going to revert back to old Kyrie, or is he keep going to go along and trusting the system? So right now, yeah, Kyrie's great. I want to see what he's doing in a couple months. That's really going to tell the story.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. I do think he deserves credit for what he's done. And in my mind, this is kind of what he has always kind of been capable of. I've always thought he could do something like this. You know, I don't think his time in Cleveland the last couple of years really showed that was necessarily the case. I think the comment he had, that you and I talked about this when we ran into each other at Cavs Hawks, but that what he said about Lou to me was very odd. I think he's still kind of saying weird things. But I think, like, if you look at what the Cavs asked him to be, I don't think he was ever asked to be what he's asked to be in Boston right now. And maybe that's a critique of Lou. I don't know if you can say it's all the system or if it's all, like, what the Cavs sort of asked of him. I don't know if that's totally fair. There has to be some evolution there. But I do think, for me, a lot of what you're seeing with Kyrie is that he's in a different system. He's not playing with LeBron. And he's being asked to do something that he's never really asked to be done before. It's different demands of him in a way that I think is kind of interesting. But speaking of Derrick Rose, that's going to be our first real Cavsy topic as we get into today. You and I were sitting near each other at this game, and he was awful. I would venture to say he was the worst player on the floor, and the Cavs lost to the Hawks. Minus 27 for Derrick Rose in a 2-point game. You know, the plus-minus, single-game plus-minus is something you don't always want to just rely on, but for something like that, when he's a starter, when the other starters' plus-minuses were not as bad, and he was not on the floor when they had their best moments, I mean, he was the worst player on the floor for the Cavs. But and then there's this quote that Tyronn Lue had that I'm going to read real quick from after the game, where he had this to say about Derrick Rose. On Derrick Rose getting assists, and I think he had one in this game versus a few turnovers, including one where he just totally threw the ball out of bounds. This is from Tyronn Lue about Derrick Rose. "The ball is not in his hands the whole time. With LeBron handling it a lot and D-Wade handling, Rose is not in the position to really get assists. But just playing with pace, being aggressive, and attacking the basket is what we need from him, and everything else will take care of itself." That's clearly, I think, kind of a defense of what they're getting out of Derrick Rose. I think that's the read of it. But what do you make of what Lue has said about Rose and how Rose has played so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% a defense. If Ty Lue's being honest, he can't be happy with what Derrick Rose has provided. Looking at the usage rates of the team, because he's talking about, well, the ball's in LeBron's hand. LeBron clearly has the highest usage rate of any cap points percent of possessions. And with, you know, LeBron assisting on a play or scoring a play or turning the ball, Derrick Rose is at 26%, second on the team. That's not that far apart. He's above Kevin Love comfortably. Kevin Love's at 24.9. And then you've got Dwayne Wade, Jeff Green, and then somehow Channing Frye is there too, because he doesn't pass. He just shoots when he has the ball.
Jeff Green living his best life, just flourishing.
Yes, Jeff Green with a usage percentage over 20%. That's not an ideal number. No. But look at that. LeBron and Derrick Rose, 29.6 to 26. That's not that big of a difference. It really isn't. You're telling me that Derrick Rose has a usage percentage of 26% and is averaging less than 2 assists a game, and it's okay because the ball's in LeBron's hands? I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it one bit. And I, at the same time, I don't blame Ty Lue for saying that, because he's sticking up for his guy. That's what he's doing. But at the same time, he's got to be son of a gun. Like, he can't be happy with the way Derrick Rose is playing point guard right now. There was a couple possessions during the Hawks game, and, you know, Derrick, he loves to drive. He loves to get to the basket. Great. We want him to be aggressive. We want somebody to score besides LeBron. We want somebody to handle the ball besides LeBron, because it's November and we don't want him handling the ball for 40 minutes a night. But there was times where he was covered and he would get into the paint. And not even like the deep paint. I'm not talking restricted area. Like, he barely crossed the free throw line. And the Hawks would send another guy, and there would be a shooter on the wing. And I remember one time LeBron was just standing there on the wing. You cannot not see LeBron James. The man is huge. And Rose didn't even look at him, didn't give him a second look, just slopped some crap up at the rim and just completely ignored him. And I don't know how many players in the NBA, not just like point guards, but how many players take that shot. I feel like 9 out of 10 at least make that pass or look to make that pass. I mean, even Kyrie would make that pass when he was here. And just, it looks like Derrick Rose is more interested in proving, I can still score, I can still be an effective player. Where's my next contract? That's what I'm looking at, instead of trying to make this team better, and that's concerning right now.
100% agree with that. Real quick, as a reminder, if you want to check out the entire Locked On Podcast Network, you can get that in one feed. All you got to do is search Locked On Podcast on iTunes, and you can find every NBA podcast in one feed. Check that out today and get every local story on the local teams from the experts in every market, Cavs, Celtics, Bucks, whatever you want to listen to. You can find it on the Locked On Podcast Network. One of the things for me that doesn't surprise me about this is that Lue's defending him. And I don't really think he... I think he will deserve some kind of pushback and some critiquing if Rose is still playing a bunch come the playoffs. I predicted to you at the game that I kind of think there's a chance, and I said it will happen, and I'm going to back off it because, you know, what am I'm not – we'll see. But I wouldn't shock me if Rose is out of the rotation come playoff time because I don't think he's providing very much. I don't – shooting for me is a big problem. His decision-making has been a big problem. I think there was some kind of just critiquing of what Lou said, and I just don't think it should be surprising that's what Lou's going to say publicly. Lou's not someone who's going to critique his players really publicly. You know, he's not ever going to throw a guy under the bus publicly. That's just not what he's going to do. He's going to try to talk to them all deep down. He's still going to call guys out, I think, if he needs to and when he needs to, but he's not someone who does that publicly. His track record is not to rip into a guy through the media. That is not how he chooses to reach guys. Even with the quote that he had on Monday at practice where he said that the guys are embarrassed and, you know, they should be embarrassed and all this stuff, like, I don't think that's out of the norm of what he's already said, for one. And two, I think, like, if you just look at how the Cavs themselves have talked about this, LeBron was in a bad mood after the game, said this. I think the Dwayne Wade is finger-pointing already thing is a little bit, I think that's kind of an absurd reach on kind of what Wade said, considering he said it, A, kind of calmly after the game, and B, it had all of his teammates have, like, yeah, like, we agree with what he said, that the bench has been kind of in a bad spot because the starters are leaving us behind. And I think the guys sort of know, and I don't know exactly what that means yet, because we have to kind of see how they respond to this new low and losing to a team like the Hawks and Lou saying what he said. But I don't think anything we've seen so far is, like, particularly surprising in a lot of ways. And I know, like, the locker room was a ghost town after the Hawks game. It felt like everyone was very bummed out. Even Channing seemed bummed out. You know, Kyle Korver seemed bummed out. LeBron in particular, again, seemed moody. But I don't know if the pointing fingers thing here is quite the right descriptor on how this team's doing. And we've seen that written in a couple places already.
First of all, nobody should be upset over what Dwayne Wade said, because he 100% spoke the truth. And it wasn't like he was sitting at his locker and he was in a bad mood and he was sending shots left and right. Like, no.
He spoke eloquently.
Very articulate.
Like he spoke eloquently. For like 2 minutes. It was like 2 minute responses. It wasn't like Grumpy Wade from the Bulls last year where you can go find those clips. This was fully thought out. Like, his quote, it hasn't been posted anywhere as far as I know. It didn't make anyone else's story. But he had a really good quote on J.R. Smith about J.R. Smith's struggles being a rhythm thing. And
yes.
And like, you can tell he's thinking about this and is working on this more so than pointing fingers at people. I think that's I've seen that, and I know you didn't make this, but I think that's like an unfair read of kind of what has been said after that game.
No, and I think that's really admirable of Dwayne Wade. And maybe it helped that he was coming off his best game as a Cav. You know, like, personally, he might have been in a good mood even though the team, you know, laid an egg. He was very good. Very good. Took a couple shots that I thought maybe weren't the best looks, but overall he was fantastic. I kind of pulled up some numbers. Dwayne Wade, since he was moved to the bench, he's only playing about 21 minutes a game. In those 21 minutes, 10.7 points, 3.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shooting 46%, only turned the ball over once, and he has a plus minus of plus 3.2. That's pretty good. Especially if he, you know, he finalizes, you know, like, those minutes go up to like 25 a game, 26 a game. All of a sudden he's giving you maybe 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Could we be talking about Dwayne Wade as a sixth man? And maybe that's a different podcast. Maybe that's a different, you know, topic of discussion, but just the stats that he's put up, the answers he was given yesterday, like you said about J.R. Smith, and they were kind of talking about why is J.R. Smith struggling. So, well, you know, we're running all these sets and these screens for Kyle Korver, and, you know, he's shooting between 40% and 50% from three, and he had that big fourth quarter, and, well, that's why. He's like, well, you know, we're not doing that for J.R. And, you know, he wasn't calling out the coaching staff or anything. He was just making an honest observation about why one man is having success, why one man is not. I thought he was fantastic. He did a great job. He was very thoughtful with his answers. He wasn't throwing anybody under the bus. I thought it was a little funny where he said, you know, just one time I'd like to, you know, the first unit to blame us for blowing a game, because that's fair and that's true. You know, when Dwayne Wade was the starter for those three games, they were 2-1, and they beat Boston and they beat Milwaukee. They had a very impressive win at Milwaukee, and you know, not that Dwayne Wade should be the starter, he shouldn't be. He's in his perfect role right now, but. I've been very impressed with Dwayne Wade, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make. And I thought his comments were great yesterday, and I don't think anybody should be upset by him.
I mean, I think it's been an adjustment for him for sure, but I think he's handling it better than I think maybe he's getting credit for. And we're not necessarily there all the time with him, you know, and haven't been on the road with, you know, he's been. But, like, I thought, again, maybe it was his best game, like you said, but he did seem to kind of be in a good kind of mental space in that game. And another reminder, if you want to find all of the Locked On podcasts, you can find them in one feed on iTunes. Right now, I'm listening a lot to Locked On Bucks because the Cavs are playing Milwaukee and Giannis is incredible. And if you want to get tuned in to what the Cavs are going to be seeing later this week in teams like the Dallas Mavericks and the Houston Rockets, Locked On Rockets, Locked On Mavs are two good options for you to check out on iTunes. And just find them, again, all in one feed. Just search Locked On in your iTunes feed or wherever you get podcasts. One of the other things I think was really interesting coming out of that Hawks game was they just kind of... I left that game thinking this team, this identity is that they don't have one. I keep thinking a lot about what this team was last year and the year before, and even when things were bad, they could generate points because they had Kyrie and LeBron James to score in the half court, and they had a lot of three-point shooting. This year, I don't know what's the one thing they do that makes me think that they have something to rest their laurels on, to build off of, right? Like, when they're driving and kicking, it's Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade shooting threes, and that's just not what those guys do. JR's on rhythm. They haven't found a defensive identity, obviously, because they're last in league in defensive rating, and Jay Crowder's been kind of bad on closeouts, and I tweeted this, but they're closing out on guys so aggressively that they're just missing. They end up giving open threes because they're closing out so hard, or they're jumping past guys. And besides LeBron being incredibly good and he's having an incredible year on the offensive end, I don't know what this team does that is kind of what they're doing. And when they had success against Atlanta, it was because they were running two-man game with LeBron and either Korver or Wade, and or Wade was, you know, dominant in that second quarter. And I just don't know what this team's identity actually is. I really, really do not know what to think about this team is actually building itself on right now. Like, what do you think this team is best attribute is as we're into the season and they're under 500 and all this, but what do you think the actual one thing there, if there is one, that they're actually can rest their hat on right now that's not LeBron James being LeBron James?
I think that is your only identity right now. You're talking, like, we've had six different starting lineups. You know, we've had Kevin Love's a five, Kevin Love's a four, Tristan's starting, Tristan's coming to the bench, Dwayne Wade's starting. There is no identity right now. And I think that's part of the problem is, you know, you look at the one game they've won in, like, their past five games is LeBron James had to tie a franchise record for points scored. They didn't do anything defensively against the Wizards. I think the Wizards shot 70% in the first quarter, but the Cavs were even better. That's the only reason that they won that game is LeBron had to go into superhero mode. And certainly, we didn't expect them to be a great defensive team. They haven't been a great defensive team in the last couple of years, but one of the big things they could hang their hat on was three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had Kyrie and they had J.R. Smith, especially 2 years ago. He was a 40% three-point shooter. You know, you had Matthew Dellavedova 2 years ago coming off the bench making 40% of his threes. You had Channing Frye as a regular rotation piece for a while shooting 45%. He was one that.
Yeah, I just got to say, sorry, but like Channing Frye coming into the game against the Hawks, Kevin Love is a three-point threat, but how much more open the floor was with Frye out there was very noticeable. Just how much easier it was for LeBron and everyone else to drive when Fry was on the floor. It was an automatic pick and pop. His defensive issues are real. He's definitely not playable against the Warriors. We know that. I kind of think he has to be in the rotation at this point because he gives you something you can kind of build sets around. And they kind of need that anchor right now, even if it's something very simple like that.
Well, as soon as Channing Frye went in the game, you saw LeBron immediately, like, the eyes were open. Like, oh, this lane's a little bit more open now. Oh, I can drive. Oh, I can do this. Like, it just kind of opened up his game to be a little bit more aggressive and get to the paint, get to the free throw line like that. So, I mean, Kevin Love, do we know what his illness was? Have we heard what his illness was?
No, you know, he had a quote. I was at practice, and he basically was like, I've never felt like that before. He went to the hospital he said he was there for an hour and got an IV. And now he's fine. I mean, it just seems like that was the whole thing, and he just, I don't know, maybe it's in bed fish or something. I don't really, no one really knows, and they haven't said what it was. It seems like he's going to be good to go Tuesday against Milwaukee. So, like, I guess it might, that just might have been a weird thing. And the timing of that whole thing is just weird, too, because he left the game when he was just getting ripped to shreds, and he already played really bad, and
right.
Obviously believe that he's sick, but yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing was weird. But I'm saying, you're out Tristan Thompson already for the next minimum 2 to 3 weeks with the calf injury.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to lose Love. You just can't, because you're at that point, it's like, okay, is Channing Frye going to be our guy, or is LeBron just going to play center the whole time? Because I don't think Ante Zizic is going to get 30 minutes a night. I don't think we're at that point quite yet. So yeah, they need those bigs. I think, like we said, Channing has his limitations, but good Lord, if this team isn't going to play defense already, and they are right now dead last in the NBA, 111.7 is their defensive rating, dead last, above teams that are actively trying to lose and rebuild. Yeah, we're playing worse defense than them. Congratulations, guys. Number 30 overall in the NBA. If we're going to be that bad defensively already, why not have Channing Frye out there? Why not have somebody that, you know, can knock down threes at a 40% clip, is going to open up the floor? Like you said, he can't play against the Warriors, but we don't need to worry about that right now. We don't play the Warriors until Christmas. We're just trying to win a couple games. We're trying to get back to 500 right now.
Right.
That's our goal. But going back to the three-point line, I think that's my biggest problem right now, and it's on both ends. Because right now, three-point shooting, Cavs last year were first in the league, second in the league, something like that. They're 25th in the league right now in three-point shooting, 33.4%. And yeah, we knew they weren't going to be as good when they lost Kyrie and they brought in Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade. We knew they weren't going to be as good. Certainly when Isaiah Thomas comes back, he's going to make two or three three-pointers a game. He should shoot them at a 37 to 38% clip. He might get to 40 with LeBron. You know, we could see the LeBron effect, just like we used to see the Mo Williams effect, where he shoots 40% next to LeBron and can't crack that anywhere else. But defensively, and I put this in my article yesterday, dead last in three-pointers allowed. They're giving up 13.4 three-pointers a game, which is insane. Opponents are shooting 41.7% against them on the three-point line. Not only are those two metrics dead last in the NBA, if sustained, would be the worst marks in NBA history. And I know we're in the three-point revolution, and you know, 20, 30 years ago, we weren't shooting threes. I mean, even 5 years ago, we weren't shooting threes like we are now. But that's insane. I mean, we're looking at the worst marks in the history of the league. That's where we are right now, if you're the Cavaliers. And you know, you could say, I would understand that had we been playing Golden State and Houston. But if we're putting up those marks against the Atlanta Hawks when they have 8 healthy players and they've lost 8 games in a row, if we're getting trounced like that by the Chicago Bulls and the New York Knicks, those are the teams that have contributed to these marks of dead last for three-pointers allowed, success rate, blah, blah, blah. That's a little concerning. And like you said, there's so many closeouts where they just go flying right by. They're not disciplined right now. And a lot of times it's because of communication. They don't know who they're supposed to be guarding. The other team swings the ball around, and then somebody's scrambling to catch up, and that's all they can do is get there, and then it's one easy pump fake, and one of our guys goes flying right by. Against Atlanta, I counted at least three times. Maybe you saw more. I saw at least three times. I saw there was one possession. I went back and looked. Jay Crowder is defending three different people on one possession because they were confused defensively, like they always are. Tried to run from one player to the next player to the next player as they're swinging the ball around. And then the last guy, I think it was Torian Prince, goes flying by as he does like this, just the worst pump fake I've ever seen. And Crowder, you know, he's running on, you know, full speed at him, right by him. At least three times yesterday I saw that happen. And a lot of that's communication, a lot of it's effort, a lot of it's, you know, we're not used to playing with the guy next to us. That's understandable. But you can't be dead last in these right now. You can be bad right now, but you can't be dead last, and that's where the Caps are right now.
Yeah, it's – I don't know exactly what has caused their downfall in defense. I've mentioned the show before. It'd be worth really getting into just seeing what has caused them to go from – you know, good defensively a few years ago to so bad now. I think it's probably a combination of, you know, Dele was so important, I think, defensively. I think that model of point guard really makes sense for this team, and they've really moved away from that. You know, Mozgov being Mozgov that half a season was probably super important. You know, just how good he was a rim protector. They've never had that kind of mobile, really high-level rim protection since Tristan's a great center. I maintain that he's worth that contract, even when people will get mad about him, and even though he's been bad to start the year and is now hurt, but maybe they miss that kind of rim protection maybe they just have too much of the shooting and too much of that thing. But then you get a guy like Derrick Rose who just is bad, and like I don't know how to quantify this really, other than there's points against the Hawks where him and Kevin Love are defending pick and rolls, and Kevin Love was like much better defending a pick and roll than Derrick Rose. And like that's a problem. And it's, if Kevin Love is the better half of your pick and roll defense, you've got a problem when you're defending a 1-5 pick and roll or any kind of pick and roll where Kevin Love's in it. Like that's a problem.
And I kind of said, I thought yesterday, well, not even yesterday, but most nights you can look at it, you could say Kevin Love is the third best defensive player in the starting five
which is a problem.
Yes. Oh, it's a big problem. And LeBron takes a lot of plays off defensively. We know that. Jay Crowder will be better, I hope. He certainly has not been as advertised with the way he's been getting beat off the dribble. We saw Dennis Schroeder take him to the rim a couple times yesterday. Very concerning. But when Kevin Love is your third best defender, because he's been better than Derrick Rose by far, and then J.R. Smith just looks completely lost on both ends. And he's a guy that if his shot is falling, he's a lot more motivated defensively. We know this. It's an easy connection there for J.R. And his shot is not falling. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, we were at 20%. We could be a little bit higher or lower there. But, you know, you look at, oh, well, they can't guard the pick and roll. They can't guard the three-point line. They're getting beat in transition. You look at all this stuff, right? And you say, what can we fix? And I guess part of me is not as worried as others, just from some people I've talked to that have watched them. The one scout that I trust, I reached out to, and I said, you know, how much have you watched the Cavs? What have you seen? You know, what can you tell me about their defense? Is age a concern? Is this a concern? And this is what he told me. He said, it's simple. They aren't mentally checked into the season yet. It's just an effort thing. They aren't trying yet. Teams just beat them up and down the court in transition. That's just effort. He said, all the pick and roll numbers and talk is pointless until the team checks in. It's a long season. LeBron teams do this a lot. Which, it kind of, that surprised me. I thought he would be more critical of them. I thought he would be more worried about the roster as a whole, the makeup of it, guys getting older. Doesn't seem too worried about it yet. And it's a guy I trust. And I just thought that was interesting. All the pick and roll numbers and talk is pointless until the team checks in. So my question is, at what point will this team check in? And at what point can we look at all these numbers and be concerned? Because To me, these numbers are concerning right now. Yeah. And maybe we shouldn't be concerned, but I am. And yeah, when you're looking at league worst marks and NBA history worst marks, I think there's definitely more than they just haven't checked in the season yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm concerned about the personnel, for one. I think that I just don't know how much better this group actually can get. That's my concern. But, I mean, look at the second quarter Tuesday. I mean, that was when they actually were playing really hard in that quarter, when it was Wade and Chetty Usman and a bench lineup. They played really hard and were good, and it's Atlanta, so it's you have to kind of take that into consideration in your evaluation. But they played really hard and were good and were passable, so I think effort certainly is going to be a part of it. But I also do think it is going to be carving out the right personnel to kind of see who fits in. And maybe they have to make a move at some point. You know, maybe they have to find a wing defender. Maybe they, maybe Isaiah too. Like, one of the things I need, this is something I think Crowder would, it'd be interesting to ask him about and Isaiah about too when he's available again. But you know what made Boston was this team the last year and in past years that was, those guys were like, their whole thing was, we don't want to lose. Like, we don't want to play in the situation. How do you instill that in Cleveland when LeBron is not really kind of viewing it that way, even if he's grumpy about some of this stuff? Like, what is the difference in those situations? I think that would be a really interesting kind of breakdown. Like, what would they say that you're coming from the situation where you're playing hard all the time, and that was a big part of your success? How do you replicate some of that with the Cavs? Greg, we'll wrap it up on this. The Cavs face the Bucks on Tuesday. It is a team that is struggling a little bit right now in Milwaukee, as teams have kind of figured out what they're doing defensively, and Giannis is having to be Giannis literally every night of every single play out there. But what is one thing you are looking for in this game that might indicate the Cavs are at least improving? They're not going to figure out everything in one night, but what is something you would like to see against the Bucks that would indicate to you that they are going to improve just a little bit right now, and that they are actually going to take a step forward and not just kind of live in this zone of bad basketball for the foreseeable future?
If I were to pick out one, let's pick out one player first. If I had to pick out one player, it would be Derrick Rose. At some point, he has to change his game. He has to adjust his game. So far this season, he has 10 assists on the year, and he has 15 turnovers. That's not good from a starting point guard. And, you know, Ty Lue can say, well, he don't have the ball in his hands. LeBron has the ball in his hands. Well, that's bull crap. I just want to see, is he going to make any adjustments, or are we going to see, you know, 7 first quarter field goal attempts from Derrick Rose as LeBron James watches and Kevin Love watches and all these other guys that should be touching the ball are just watching Derrick Rose shoot? That's what I want to see. Is he going to make an effort to be more of a playmaker? Is he going to be putting forth more of a defensive effort? I'd love to see that. The other thing is, you know, the Cavs' effort level has directly coincided with the level of their opponent, or the perceived level of their opponent. And, you know, we saw them beat Boston on opening night. We saw them beat Milwaukee the next night. Milwaukee's 4-5, but I think most people would expect them to make the playoffs. I think that's a fair assessment. I think we're going to see Orlando fall back a little bit. Detroit's going to fall back a little bit. And I think Milwaukee's one of those teams that's going to rise back up into the playoffs. So does Cleveland view them as a threat or a challenge like they did, you know, when they beat Washington? Or are they going to look at this team and say, oh, they're 4-5. You know, they have they're scoring less than 104 points per game. This is another game where we don't have to try and then, you know, go out and score 37 points in the first quarter. I want to see how seriously they take Milwaukee. I want to see how they match up with Giannis. Is it going to be Jay Crowder on him? Is it going to be LeBron on him? Who's going to guard that initial assignment? And I want to see, is Derrick Rose going to make any adjustments to fix his game? Has anybody gotten in his ear? Has Coach Lue gotten in his ear? Has LeBron gotten in his ear? Dwayne Wade, one of the other veterans, has said, look, man, we need some more playmaking from you. We need you to change this. We need you to give us a little bit better effort defensively. Those would be my keys for Milwaukee. I don't want to look too far ahead, but we got to make a little trip down to Houston and play the Rockets this week. So
look, I have such low expectations for the Rockets game. Just such low expectations for that game.
How high is our defensive rating going to shoot after that Rockets game? It's going to be so fun to watch.
40 in that game, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know?
Ooh. Weapon 56, you know, on other teams. He might go for 75 against us. You never know.
Yeah. My one thing would be I would like to see some of what you saw with lineups that did against Atlanta kind of using it. And I think Chetty, you might as well just play Osman at this point. I don't think you have anything to lose by playing him, especially if Amon Shumpert is still hurt. We don't know. They're hopeful he'll play, but he's going to play really hard, and I kind of think you might as well just use that. Like, just see what happens with that.
I agree.
You know, why not? Play Zizic. Let's just see. You don't have anything to lose. Your normal veteran guys are playing bad anyway, and at least you know those guys are going to come in and play really hard. I think pairing Love, is assuming he's good to go with Wade for a little bit, like they did, make some sense. And I just want to see something that shows they're going to come up a little bit and just fire. I want to just see stuff that kind of makes me think they are going to try to play a little bit harder. And it's not one thing, I guess, but I also do think getting J.R. Smith in sets, kind of like they're doing with Kyle Korver, and have done a lot with Kyle Korver, would be a good thing. Let's see J.R. Smith getting to run around screens and then attack off the dribble. Let's see him get some catch-and-shoot threes and not have to take contested threes. Try to get him in a rhythm, because I think if you want to have better starting lineup success, something Lou has talked about, something everyone has talked about, getting J.R. Smith going would be a big part of that.
Oh, I completely agree. They need J.R., probably defensively more than offensively at this point, but yeah, 100% agree. They need a big turnaround from J.R. Smith.
Yeah. Will be an interesting game. Cavs Bucks, 7 p.m. at Quicklands Arena. I will be there for the sword. But Greg, thank you so much for coming on. And everyone, you can find him on Twitter at Cavs Greg BR. You can find all his writing at BleacherReport.com.